They like the main dress.
The what? What did you say?
I was talking about him putting on the mic on me. Thank you, Brother Philip Fields. Appreciate it very much. Well, good morning, everyone. I join with our Brother Fields and all the saints here at Bellevue in welcoming each and every one of you to Bellevue Gospel Chapel. Thank the Lord for bringing you here safely. Let us please turn to a text in the Word of God, and it will be found in 2 Kings chapter 5. And for those of you who are using the Bible in the pew, the paperback, and I would appreciate if you will take it out, I'll tell you where to find where I'm going to read from. There's one on the side right here. And you have the New King James. So turn to page 374, please. 374. And you will see a big five on that page. And I'll start reading from the first verse of chapter 5. 374. And that's where we'll start reading. Now, I just want to let you know that a few words may sound or be stated differently to what I'm reading, but yours is framed more in modern day English from the version that I'm reading from. So I'm reading from the original King James while you have what is referred to as the New King James. So let us begin our reading. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. I'm on verse 6 now. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon my thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he, that is Elisha, said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us pray, please. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that thou hast given us thy word, so we can learn of thee and thy blessed ways. We thank thee for the portion that we have read, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us into the full understanding and the implication of what had transpired then, so we can apply it to our lives. We thank thee for all those who are present, and we pray a special blessing upon each and every one as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So we've read the story together. You've seen it with your own eyes. And if you are asked to somewhat condense the story in your own words, I'm sure just about every one of you can do that. But what we will try to do here with the help of God is to look at it and see the deep meaning of the passage that we have read. So I'll title this passage, Money Cannot Buy Salvation. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard at some time that there are people who say money cannot buy love. Money could buy a home, a house, but it cannot buy a home. And money cannot buy happiness. And all of these things are true, although they are sayings, they are true. Money could only do so much. And we found out in the story here that the money couldn't do anything for this man who was afflicted with leper. His name means in Hebrew, pleasant. He seems to be a pleasant man, but at some point he wasn't so pleasant after all. But we want to examine what we've just read. Let's start with verse 1, going back to verse 1. It says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Israel, of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, for he was a leper. So, when you look at it, you can see that this man had great social standing, well-respected, and wealthy. The problem is, although he was of that status, And although he was the commander of the army of Syria, and the king loved him, he had an issue. And the issue was that he was a leper. Now, so we put things in context, so we get an understanding or remind ourselves about Syria and Israel. Now, Syria has been in the news now for many, many years. Many years. Now, if we look at location-wise, and we want to place in our minds where that country of Syria is, then we kind of look at Israel. So we get an understanding. Because Syria is in Western Asia. It is in the region that is called the Middle East, where Israel is located and other countries as well. Syria lies to the south of Turkey. And at the same time, it is north of Jordan, east of Iraq. It is also on the eastern side of Israel and Lebanon. So you have an idea where it is located. So Syria has always been at odds with Israel. Always. Nothing new with what is going on. They don't have diplomatic relations. And as you know, Iran has used Syria as a staging ground to attack Israel and other neighbors in the island, or in the country, in the neighboring country, so to speak. So you have an idea now how you place, and so it's bordered with Israel as well, so you can understand. But this country is much larger than Israel. Israel is very small, but the size of Rhode Island. So this is a very large country with a very large population. With all the wars that they still have about 26 million people living in Syria. But you can easily get from Syria, depending on where you are, because the capital of Syria is Damascus, and Damascus is north of the Sea of Galilee. That's in northern Israel. And so they can easily get from one country to the other. But notwithstanding that, here we have this mighty man, and he has a problem. But note, it tells us here in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So her boss, if we put it in language this way, was the leper's wife. So she was taken as a slave from Israel and brought into Syria. And now she is in the house of Naaman waiting on his wife. In other words, serving Naaman's wife. But look at what she said in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So let's pause again to get an understanding. The land of Israel was divided at that time between the north and the south. The northern part was much larger than the southern part. The northern part was called Israel, with its capital in Samaria. See, she mentioned here Samaria, with its capital in Samaria. The southern part was called Judah, with its capital in Jerusalem. So even today, Samaria is still there, although the world calls Samaria the western area. I don't remember the exact name, but it will come to me at some point. So this is the area where the The Palestinians occupied, and there are also Israelis living in that area. There's always conflict between them. Even yesterday they had conflict. And they call those who are of Israel, who are living there, occupiers, that they're occupying their land. So, biblically, the name is Samaria. That's what it's called. And if you speak to a Jew today, particularly the religious ones, and you don't call it Samaria, they will correct you. They don't want you to call it the modern name that is used for it. It's called the West Bank. I told you it will come to me. It's called the West Bank. So Samaria basically is about 98 miles north of Jerusalem. So that's the West Bank. So Samaria now being the capital, that's where the king will be. So the king is there, and the young lady now speaks to the wife of Naaman, the captain. And in verse 4, it says, "And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." So I hope everything is working together for you here so you could connect the dots. So, verse 5, "And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." So let's break that down so we get an understanding of what is happening here. Because we would like to understand what that means in terms of today's dollars if we were to convert these things to dollars today. So he took those talents of silver. According to weight at that time, those talents that he took of silver will be equal to 1,250 pounds. Now, if we look at the current rate per ounce of silver, you will find that today it is worth $1,244,188. But he also took, as it's mentioned here, 6,000 pieces of gold. And looking at measurements back then and how gold was measured. See, that's how it was measured. They didn't have the kind of currency that we have today. Everything was done by weight. You weigh these precious metals and you come up. So that's what's used for payment in trade. So those 6,000 pieces of gold, the weight would be 150 pounds. So 150 pounds of gold in US dollars today would be $9,753,581. And then he took 10 raiments, 10 changes of raiment. Now, I wouldn't go into the details of that, but it took a lot to make those raiments. They are not ordinary clothes that people wear. These are clothes or robes used for special occasions, and they were very expensive. So if we were to convert that based on Old Testament times and we use the current rate today, it will be anywhere between $5,000 to $45,000 in US dollars, the worth of those 10 raiment. So if we put all of these together, we will come up with a grand total, this is approximate, of at least $11,022,769. Why is this important? Well, that's what he took. That's what he took. That's what is going to the king of Israel with as a gift. You see, in those days, in what is called the ancient Near East, whenever a king sent someone to another king, they always took gifts with them. We could look at passages in Kings and we can see that in cases where it happened, but we will not go into that right now. Time would not afford us to do that. But that was a common thing. So here he is with all this wealth, and he's going now to see the king of Israel. So the king of Israel, I must tell you, at that time was a godless king. He was the youngest son of King Ahab. And King Ahab, at the time, was referred to a little earlier before his son took over as the worst king of Israel. The Bible labeled him as, God labeled him as an evil king. Now, when we think of this northern kingdom with Samaria as its capital, that northern kingdom, from the time Israel was divided, had 19 kings, 19, before that part came to an end. And every one of those kings were wicked. Isn't that something? They had 19. Everyone was wicked. Of course, Judah, the southern part, as I told you, had 20 kings. Some were evil and some were good, but not so of the northern part, and that's why God had sent them into exile with the Assyrians. But as we move on, so he takes these now and he goes to the king. So the king's name was Jehoram. He goes to the king. It's not written here, but if, you know, going back and looking at Kings, we can see who this king was. So his father, King Ahab, reigned during that earlier period, and I think, if I recall, he was like the sixth king of Israel. That's his father. He was godless, as I've said. So now he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't honor God. So this man comes to him with a letter from the king of Syria, and Syria being a stronger country. And look at, you can see he's lamenting in what he said. Let's find what he said. Let's review it. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. In other words, I'm sending him to you. You're in Israel. Israel is a place that honors God. But this king wasn't honoring God. So this king of Syria is expecting the king of Israel to do something to heal his servant. But the king was powerless. So the king complained. It says, verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. In other words, he tore his clothes. He ripped his clothes and said, am I God? To kill and to make alive, that this man, talking about the king of Syria, does send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So what the king of Israel is saying, he can't do anything. He's helpless. And he's saying that that's a ploy on the king of Syria because he wants to start war against Israel. That's what he's thinking by the words that he's using. Because in those days, the ancient Near East, that's what the kings did when they wanted to start a fight. They send letters to the king that they want to attack and really tell them off, stirring up trouble because they want to start a fight. You know, it is what is almost like what is referred to today in modern army talk. A false flag. My brother knows what that means. So you set up the problem, and sometimes they actually attack, but they cover it up. They hide it and make it look like it's someone else or another country that did that. So this is what the king of Israel is thinking here, that the king of Syria is up to no good. So he's scared to death. That's why he rent his clothes. And when back then, when someone tore their clothes, it was they were in distress. It was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of sorrow. So that's what he's doing. But I told you before that he was godless. So he couldn't call on God and ask God for help because he was not worshiping the true and living God. He was worshiping idols like his father did before him because his father was married to Jezebel. So here we are, and he's helpless. But somebody should have told him that help is on the way. Because when you go down to verse 8, and it was so when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You see the disconnect? He is the king of Israel. He cannot even think that there is a man of God in Israel who can help. He did not even reach out to the man of God and say to the man of God, "Here is a situation that I have. What can you do about it?" Because he didn't like the man of God. Because the man of God, Elisha here, the prophet, was God-fearing. And remember that a prophet is one that God speaks through. So when they speak, sometimes they say, "The word of the Lord came to me." Or, "The Lord said to me." So the Lord is a messenger. The Lord gives the prophet a message, and the prophet in turn tells the people what the Lord said. So Elisha heard, you know, words get around. So Elisha heard what the king did, and now he sends to the king and says, in other words, if I could put it this way, "What is the matter with you? Don't you know that I am here? Don't you know that I could do something about it because I serve the true and living God?" In essence, this is what this means. So Naaman said to him, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Now, I want to go back to the little maid for a minute. The little maid had that information. See, the king didn't have it. This little slave girl that they brought from Israel, who is now serving Naaman's wife, she knew that. She knew that. And it doesn't tell us around what age she was, and I did not research that. But she was a little maid, and let's accept it that way. But she knew better. She knew that there was a man of God in Israel, and God was able to heal that leper. She said, "Would to God that my master was in Israel. Would to God, because the man of God will heal him." So she believed in God. So she had a testimony, you see, and she was not ashamed to declare that God was able to help him. When I read that, I think of Paul the Apostle, who said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So she was not ashamed. She did not keep it quiet and say to herself, "Well, I'm a slave. I am here. I better keep quiet and not say anything." She could not hold her peace. And when I think of that, I think of what is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter says that we should always be ready to give an account of the hope that we have, or the reason for the hope that we have within us, in humility and meekness. She was very meek. the way she said it. And the opportunity came, she seized the opportunity basically to spread the word of God, the truth about God and what God can do. What an example for us to seize the opportunity to speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be ready in our minds. We have to make up our minds that we will look for opportunities, or if opportunities come our way, to recognize it and speak a word on behalf of our blessed Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what she did. So let's move on. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Remember now, he is traveling with his horses, he's traveling with his chariot, and he had servants along with him. And remember what he was carrying? Silver, gold, and changes of raiment. Over $11 million worth in today's money. What is he attempting to do? Where was he going with this? We saw it at the end. Okay? Brought a gift. Verse 10. He's at the door. Picture that. He's at the door of the man of God, Elisha. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. See, the man of God did not even go. What confidence? What confidence he had? Not in himself, but in God. He did not even go to see this mighty man of valor. He did not go to see this honorable man. He did not go to see this wealthy man. He didn't go to see the commander of the king of Syria, whom God gave victory over Israel. That's why they went in and they brought captives out of Israel, including that little girl, into Syria. He did not go to see this great man. You remember the reaction of this great man? Next verse. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth. In other words, he was very angry. And went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Watch this. The name of the Lord his God. That's Elisha's God. Not Naaman's God, but Elisha's God. And strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Some, your Bible may say, the one that you're using, it may say, wave his hand over the area that was inflicted with leprosy. It was a disease of the skin, leprosy. When you go back to Leviticus, if you want to go to Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, it explains everything about leprosy. These lepers couldn't intermingle with others. They had to stay away from people. And if someone was approaching them, they had to cry, unclean, unclean. Because their sores or their boils or whatever you want to call it was so unsightly. That's the case here with this man. But here is Elisha now, and is not going out to see this man. And this man is insulted. He is very upset. How dare you, in other words, not come to see me? A man of such high rank, a man of such social standing, a man of such wealth, you do not have the respect. He felt disrespected. And some people don't like to be disrespected, you know. But let's move on. And here's what he said. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Already told you where Damascus is. It's in Syria and it's the capital. Already told you about that. And there were 2 rivers in Damascus. And these rivers were very important to the economy of Damascus, because the rivers were used as a highway, so to speak, although it's water, to transport goods and services for trade. As a result of that, the city of Damascus benefited greatly from that trade. So the people of Syria were very proud of the 2 rivers there, which is expressed here by Naaman. He too was very proud of it. And he feels disrespected because he said they have, these rivers are much better than the River Jordan. By the way, when you read here, Jordan, go dip in the Jordan, it's the Jordan River, which is in Israel, the east side. So he did not like that at all. He had an attitude, you would say. But look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had told thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? In other words, he's asking you to do something so small. If he had asked you to do something great, would you have done it? Now, you notice, he didn't answer them. No words. No words. Do you know today there are so many people that would not come to Christ because the way is too simple. It's too simple. They would not come to Christ. They wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If Elisha had said to him, that money, the amount of money you brought is not enough. I want double the amount of money. Do you think Nehemiah would have gone back and got more money and bring to him? If Elisha went down and met with him and said, based on the condition of your skin, it will take a little more money to have you cleansed. He would have gone and he would have gotten more money. Because a man will, you know, we learned that from Job, you know, when the devil told the Lord that a man will give skin for skin, a man will give anything to cure his illness. And there are people in the world today that will give any kind of money. I remember when AIDS was rampant and people were dying of AIDS. There was one fella, paparazzi or whatever his name was, big man in show business, and he had AIDS. And he said he will give all his wealth just for a cure. He would have done it. He would have brought whatever Elisha had told him to do. But the simple thing to go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times and your skin will be clean. Didn't want to do it. That was beneath him. The River Jordan was inferior to the 2 rivers of Syria. People don't come to know the Lord and they hesitate because the way is too simple. Too simple for them. They want to buy. A lot of people, they want to buy their way into heaven, you know. They invest a lot of money taking care of people and giving to worthy causes. The same attitude. They're trying to buy their way in heaven because they feel if they do good, when they go to heaven, when they die, they will go to heaven because they have done so much good. Instead of simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, and that's the way to go. There is one way and only one. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. There are those who will tell us there are many ways. One way. Nehemiah, there was only one way for him to be healed, and that is to go and dip in the River Jordan. He could have gone back and go to the rivers over in Syria and dip. Could have dipped there 1,000 times. His leprosy would have retained. He found that out. And thank God he listened to his servants. When they said to him, my father, it's not because they are his earthly, that he was their earthly father. It's simply a matter of respect. A matter of honor to their boss, the servants who advised him to do what the prophet had told him. But look at this. He didn't answer, as I said. Once they were finished telling him, he put action before words. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And look at what happened. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Instantaneously, As soon as he did the seventh time, the leprosy went away, his flesh became smooth, no bumps, no unsightly look, and it became like the flesh or the body, now the skin of a little child, a little baby, so soft, so smooth. And that's how it is with salvation. You see, so he was saved of his leprosy. Instantaneously, once he followed the instructions of the man of God, Elisha. And with salvation, once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, instantaneously, we are saved. And our sins are washed away because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross of Calvary. And that is why we read in the Word of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not perish meaning would not go to hell, but will go to heaven. And instantaneously the Bible tells us, once we confess our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Naaman was cleansed instantaneously from his leprosy. We accept the Lord as our personal Savior. Instantaneously, we are clean of the sins that we have committed in the past. Jesus wipes it all away. The Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Then we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. The same way his skin was restored, and even better than what it was maybe before he had leprosy. I don't know how long he had that condition, but now it is like a baby. And let's finish the story. Verse 15. So now he's healed, and he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, what's this? Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Let's pause here. Not only was his condition changed from leprosy, and now he has new skin, so to speak, he also realized that there is only one true God. Isn't that what the young maid said to her mistress? Her testimony. And look at what followed. Now, he is acknowledging God as the only true God. But he goes on. He says now, after saying that, take a blessing of thy servant. Well, you know what the blessing is. It's a gift. The $11+ million worth of gifts in today's money, that's what he brought to buy the cleansing of his leprosy. Here is the reaction. Verse 16. But he, that is Elijah, said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You think of some folks that we see on TV today. What do you think they'll do? You don't have to come voluntarily to offer their money. They ask for money up front. They say they can heal you. And they ask for the money up front. But this man of God knows what it is to do something on behalf of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought this out clearly in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. When you start reading from verse 1, it tells you that the Lord sent out his 12 apostles to preach. And he told them where to go and where not to go. And he told them not to take anything from the people that they're going to preach to. He said, as you go, preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said to them that he gave them the power to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, and to heal all manner of diseases. God gave it to them. But at the end, you know what he said? Freely ye have received, freely give. In other words, when the disciples came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, it was a gift. The free gift of God to them. They didn't pay for it. And when God gave them the power to heal the sick and so on, such as Naaman did here, because he wasn't doing it in his own might, he was doing it in the power of the Lord. It is a gift given to them. And the Lord is saying to the disciples, don't sell it. Preach the gospel. You got it freely. And for back then, the disciples, they healed someone. God gave them that gift freely. Don't charge for it. Don't charge for it. And some people are misguided, even in the churches of the Lord, that everything is about money, 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 everything. Several collections sometimes taken up. Every meeting that they have, they collect money. It's not about money. It's about the free gift of salvation. We don't sell the ministry of the Word of God. We don't sell the gospel. That's why we take a collection among ourselves, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and in fellowship we prepare an offering that we bring along with our worship, and we take a collection from the saints, those who are truly saved and born again, because that's how the work of the Lord is financed, not by raising money and not by selling healing and other things to the world, because it's a distraction. It's a distraction. But let's move on. So he refused to take that money. But look at what was said as we wrap this up. Look at what the man of God said. So you can see that he was a changed man. So in verse 16, Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Verse 17. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, to be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He was a pagan person. He worshipped idols. They burned sacrifices to idols. And now he's a changed man. He has a change of heart. He knows the truth. He is not going back to worshiping idols. He's going to worship the true God of heaven and earth. So what happened here? Not only was his skin changed, not only was he healed, but he had a change of heart. So he has repented. He made confession. What you're reading here is a confession and a repentant. He's now repenting. There is a roundabout turn. He used to offer sacrifices to our idols before. No, he will do it no more. And look at what he did. He asked for earth, dust, from Israel that he is going to take into Syria. See, the same mules that he brought, the same animals that he brought with all the wealth to give to the man of God. Now he's going back with something, not only a changed heart and the assurance that he's saved, but he is going back with something far less valuable than the 11 million plus that he came with. He's going back with the dirt. But that was precious to him because he's going to use the dirt of Israel, the God of Israel, to build an altar in Syria to worship the true and living God. The lesson for us is we are a changed people once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We had to repent of our sins when we came to know him. And we should not live the way we lived in the past. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are now to live according to the Word of God. We can't do it in our own strength, but we can do it through Christ who gives us the strength, you see. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Ephesians 1 tells us that. The moment we believe, the Holy Spirit comes and he seals us. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we should live lives that are pleasing to the Lord to set the example. But he also told him that when he goes back, he still has a master that he has to serve. And the master goes to the house of the false gods. But he has to go with it. That's the subsequent verses. We read it in the beginning. He has to go with the master. But I want you to know, he's saying to Elisha, when I go with my master, it is not my, because my heart is with him to worship those false gods. My heart is to serve the true and living God. That's why I'm going to build an altar in my house with the dirt that you gave to me. But this is my job. When I go with him and he leans on me, meaning that he depends on him, he is his right-hand man, so to speak. He wants Elisha to know that he is only going through the motion, because that's his job. Are you following me? Because that's his job. He's only going through the motion. And what did Elisha say to him? Go in peace. In Hebrew, shalom. Go in peace. Be at rest. Tranquility. I understand that now your heart is right with God. You now know the true and living God. So have no fear. Go do your job. But we know where your heart is. How is your heart? How is your heart? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let's close with Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The young lady, the maid, knew the Lord. She confessed. This rich man came, he was healed of his leprosy, and in addition to that, he confessed the true and living God, and he changed his ways. But it goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you get saved. So he got salvation. Salvation with the cleansing of his skin, salvation with the cleansing of the heart. Now, in order to go to heaven where the Lord is and to live eternally, everyone must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Failure to do that, and you die in your sins, the Bible says, where the Lord is, you cannot come. Which means the alternative is hell, a place of torment, where you die eternally in the lake of fire. No one wants that to happen to anyone who's sitting here. Think of that story. Think of your heart, your soul's condition. The young lady was not afraid. The king, or the commander for the king, firstly refused. And I ask you, how many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard the gospel? He hardened his heart when he heard. Wasn't going to do it. But he was encouraged to do that by those who were underneath his command. And he did. So how many times have you heard the word and encouraged and you've put it off? Put it off no more. Where you sit right now, if you're not saved, bow before the Lord and ask him to come into your heart and to save you, make you a new person, telling him that you repent of your sins and you want to live now as Naaman, a changed person with a clean heart to serve the Lord. If you did call on God from your sin and you'd like to talk to us, talk to any one of us. Anything you don't understand, talk to any one of us and we'll be happy to explain it to you. Let's close in prayer. Oh God and our Father, we thank thee for thy help in bringing forth thy word as we've learned from what we've read and the experiences of the young maid and Naaman. He was not too wealthy or too high of a social standing, although he thought that way. But then he humbled himself as a little child and came and did what he was told. Those of us who are saved, we have humbled ourselves, we have accepted thy word as is written, and we are saved, and we are on our way to heaven. And Lord, we just pray now that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of anyone who does not know thee as Savior and Lord, that they too would follow likewise and come to know thee as Savior and Lord. We give thee thanks now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.